So joining me right now, of course, is our Maine State correspondent, Dino Brown. Dino, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
All right. Well, it's good to have you on the air again. So what's been going on now that summer is slowly turning into fall?
Thank God the mosquitoes are starting to disappear. We get them in here, too.
Oh, is that right?
The bars don't keep them out.
Well.
But, things are kind of, I don't know, in some ways, same as always, you know. I'm seeing some progress in my own personal plight. I'm still waiting to see the final resolution, but the gears are turning slowly, of course, as usual. But
so have you gotten any kind of update from them since last week?
Well, I spoke with the captain, and he told me it was his recommendation that my property that had been destroyed in the process be reimbursed for it, because there was nothing in the reports clarifying how it was altered or anything like that. And the only thing I had contraband in was my stereo, but I lost everything, and I can't buy that stuff even if I had the money to. So there's a little disparity in what I've got coming to me. I mean, their fix-all would be to just give me a little bit of cash and say shut up, but I'm not really interested in that. I mean, I had things that that I worked hard to get, and I just lost it for no reason. So it should be returned to me. It should be replaced. If they can't, they can't give me the actual items back, they can buy them and give them to me instead of trying to buy me off with a paltry sum of cash.
Oh, yeah.
That I can go and spend in their vending machines that are, like 80% markup or whatever, and they get their money right back.
You'd just as soon, have a music machine and all that stuff yourself, then.
Yeah. There is a human interest thing here I thought I'd share with you folks. A month or two ago, a young woman in Portland was murdered, and she was the mother of a child that is fathered by a friend of mine who's here, and his name's Tony. He's a good guy. He's a Buddhist, and I've seen the guy take a lot of crap. This is really chewing him up. His daughter is 17, and when her mother was alive, her mother could bring her in. Now, the girl was living with foster parents, but the mother and father both had parental rights, visitation rights and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Tony gave up his parental rights, but still had visits. Now that the mother's deceased, he's having trouble getting his daughter in here to see him, because the actual guardian is deceased, and he had given up his parental rights, but he was still allowed to see her. Now they're saying that this girl can't see him at all with any guardian, just cannot see her at all. And it's a real twist to that mess. This is a time when this child needs her father more than ever.
Right,
and vice versa. Right?
Are they going to go through the guardian ad litem thing, or does she have grandparents? What's going to happen?
Well, there's foster people who have custody of her are willing to come in and sit with her. There's a caseworker here that has been trained to sit with parents and children and their children.
Mm-hmm.
The prison won't allow her to sit at the visit with these two. And he's struggling right now. He's got a letter. It's been through everybody. It's sat on the attorney general's desk, and it's just politics as usual with these people. But I mean, this man and his daughter need each other right now more than ever, and the Department of Corrections is just driving a wedge between the two of them. It's just unconscionable. There's
is
no
it just through just not giving a hoot, or
the diplomatic crap, and it's not an issue on their agenda.
Mm-hmm.
It's just. If there was money in it for them, I'm sure they'd have it resolved, And I'm not saying that to sound facetious. It behooves me that they can take two lives like that and just say, this is what you mean to us, absolutely nothing. I mean, it's sad. It's really sad. I mean, I lost my mother and my brother And my father, while incarcerated, and I know what the grieving process is like when you're stuck in here alone, especially when your family don't even care enough to come see you. But, you know, for that child to be stuck in that situation on the outside and told she's got to wait till she's 18 before she can come in here. I mean, it's just, you know, my heart cries for the guy, so hold him up in prayer. Like, he wanted to know if he could write a letter, and because he listens to the show sometimes, he said, do you think these folks could, you know, kind of mention it? And I said, yeah. I said, why don't you write down a nice long letter explaining exactly what's going on, and I'll talk to my friend Ron and see if he'll put that out there for the public to listen to.
Have you heard anything about this this prison guard, Mr. Cook, Justin Cook? Poor guy.
Yes, he was in the courier. I saw that. Except he's a really good guy, too.
He'd just come on duty, and he's, I don't know what he was. He must have seen somebody with a bad inspection sticker or something and made a U-turn, but didn't...
That's why U-turns are illegal, not to make light of the situation.
Right.
That's a good point for people to keep in mind.
That's the problem. Is the semi-tractor trailer, they can't stop on a dime.
Mm.
This poor guy, he's... how was he as a guard?
He was decent. I will say that. He was fair. In fact, I'll tell you a little story about him. And if you ever have a chance to interview him, he can confirm it.
Okay.
I was at one end of the chow hall. He was at another. And he was standing next to a guard that I worked for in Thomaston. And he was my boss, my job supervisor there. He was standing up there talking, and I took a bean, a kidney bean, and I put it on the end of my spoon. You know how you use your spoon as a catapult?
As a kid,
as a 40-year-old, too, you know. But okay. I shot a bean across the chow hall and went into the windowsill, flew around and came back and hit him in the back of the neck, and he was looking around to see who did it, and he couldn't see nothing. And Chris, the guy standing next to him, says, look for the person who's laughing. He looked around and he saw me beat red trying to hold back my laughter. And then he started laughing and he called me over and he says, don't be throwing things in the chow hall. I says, okay. He says, nice shot. So he took it with a grain of salt. And, you know.
That's good. I mean, he could have been a real creep about it and made problems, but instead he just realized that, you know, like you said, 40-year-old kids have to have fun, too.
I was aiming for Chris, the other one.
Right.
I got him instead. But it was funny, you know. It hit his neck and landed in his collar and stuff. It was funny.
Let's see. Collapsed lung, internal and head injuries, so it may be a long time before you see him again.
Well, he doesn't work here anymore.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he went to work for county. In fact, I heard him talking about it a few days before he left.
Oh, okay, because it said for the past 14 months he worked part-time as a deputy while full-time at the prison, but I guess he just switched on to full-time for three weeks. Oh, okay. Well, there you go. It's safer on the inside. Poor guy.
It seems that way. That's sad, too.
Yeah. So, you know, anyone that's talking about this Maine Books to Prison project, there's going to happen a party tomorrow at the Thompson Community Center, and I'll be recording the event. I'll have talks from different groups, probably the NAACP folks and the Native American Prison Project and some others, lots of others. And so I'll be, like I said, I'll be recording it and playing it back in chunks there, and probably put some up on the web, too, so that people can check it out at their own leisure.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
And how is the Books to Prisoners business going along right now?
I know we got a whole bunch of books in not too long ago. And I think it's a pretty good thing. The library is always full.
Oh, okay. Well, that's the key thing there, then. That not just old books. I remember I was in jail 20 years ago, and there were just these ancient paperbacks, all the old westerns, but they
got all of them.
Oh yeah, okay. Their covers wear off and all that, you know. But,
yeah, Jane Grey and Louis L'Amour.
Yeah, well, you know, they're pretty good writers. I enjoyed reading them. It's just thought, well, got to get something a little more current.
Yeah.
In there, and I wonder if the county libraries, the various town libraries, excuse me, have any kind of program. I'll check with them because they're often selling off books, and maybe they could give some away too.
Yeah.
If they come from a library, they're probably cool. I mean, otherwise, it's got to be new books right from the publisher, right?
Yeah, generally. But as far as the library is concerned, the library can receive donated books.
Uh-huh.
There's the librarian, Jackie Weddle, W-E-D-D-L-E.
Jackie Weddle?
Okay. Yeah. She's a local resident, and she's been working at the prison as a librarian since this new place opened.
Hmm.
She's a pretty good lady. She's dedicated to the, you know, doing a good job in the library. She's managed to find books. She goes out and buys books for us, and, boy, 2 years ago she had, well, actually I think it was 2.5, 3 years ago, but she went out and she got like several pallets of books delivered to the prison, and I mean they were literally like pallet after pallet after pallet, because we'd get them in from time to time and we'd go through them.
Yeah.
And there was, you know, there were a number that were not of interest to prisoners, but there, you know, I got a book that was given to me out of that stack. It was a Harvard Greek syntax book for Greek studies, and I studied the ancient Greek, so that was a real fascinating find. I mean, a book like that in its time would have been quite expensive, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
But this was from, like, 1938 or something like that it was published. But it had the Attic and the Koine Greek, which was fascinating. So, yeah, we do get some treasures there. And, you know, you get, like, a Russian prisoner in here. There was some books in Russian that was, like, you know, written Cyrillic that he can read. Dictionaries and, you know, there's some good stuff that we get. So, you know, it is a blessing, and there are those who are willing to partake of it. You know, we have a computer lab here with like 20 computers, but we can't use them anymore because one guy says, oh, no more computers because somebody did this. You
because
know?
They used an art program and made a tattoo or something, right?
Yeah, or got some information from an encyclopedia. Yeah, all that stuff. You know, it's funny because we were just talking about this last night, me and a few others. They took Q-tips away from us because people use them to make fire. You put two pieces of lead in your outlet, and then you arc it. You bridge the two pieces with a thin piece of metal, wire, like a hair-sized piece of wire, and a Q-tip over it, and a spark will ignite it. Well, that thin piece of wire will blow before the fuse will, so you won't blow it, but it arcs. So they took Q-tips away and pencils, but you don't need to use those. You can use anything. You can use toilet paper instead of a cotton. That don't matter.
Right. Well, they're just responding bit by bit there, then.
Yeah. And so they take baby oil and Q-tips and a lot of things, you know, pencils that you draw with. All of these things are taken away from you just because they want to make a point. But there's no end to what they're taking. And it's not making a difference, you know, penologically. It's just, you know, the tit for tat, you know. It's really childish. So we lose the computers, and we can't stand in the hallway. You can be in the gym while people play basketball, and there's no room to stand or talk, but, you know, you can't stand in the hallway. You can't, you know, just a whole bunch of crap that they do just to show you who's in charge, and you're scum, and you better accept it, blah, blah, blah.
Hmm.
But it's just, you know, what can you do? Wait for somebody to install a competent warden.
Yeah. Hey, you heard of Albert Brown related to the libraries also?
Albert Brown.
See, I'm looking at, there's a list on this State Library Service thing here. This is Maine State Prison, Jackie Weddle and Albert Dot Brown at State Maine U.S.
I think he would be with the Wyndham.
Oh, okay.
Because the position here requires somebody with a master's degree, and she has one.
Oh, okay.
We're missing our principal, too. She's no longer with us.
You mean for education purposes?
Yeah, the lady who runs the education department, Polly Black, is no longer with us. I don't know what the story is there, but she had some struggles with this administration as well. She got a pretty raw deal from the same two people I've been harping about, Kevin and O'Farrell. I mean, these people put wireless video cameras in the ceilings and microphones around, trying to bust her with something illicit, and they never could. She never did anything. She was an honest woman, as far as I've always known.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that is a crook looking out for another crook. I mean, I honestly attest that she was a decent, caring woman. You know, she'd go out of her way to help you out legitimately, you know, educationally. That was her love. I mean, the achievement, you know, to see somebody who can't even read eventually learn, you know, an adult. It's like, you know, it's easier to teach a child certain things than it is to teach an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And I know from my own experience teaching, at first DOS and then Lotus 1-2-3 and WordPerfect 5.1, DBase 3+, stuff like that. Just seeing the achievement of people that, you know, when they finally grasp it, they say, hey, look what I can do. You know, they're showing me something they just figured out on their own. And that's what the learning process is, you know, teaching you and giving you the tools to be able to further teach yourself to grow, you know. And that just, you know, you could see that joy in her face when she accomplished stuff like that. You know, she was going to work with me, and one of the teachers, they're waiting for a new principal now, but they're waiting to think, I'm going to teach a class on origami. I got a couple books on it, and I've gotten pretty good at a few things, so I mean, it's something that would take up time, and people are always interested in, because I break the stuff out and sit down, and it always draws a crowd in the day room, and say, oh, let me make this, let me make that, you know. So it's fun, but that's it. Type of thing people will share with their children down the line, you know?
Yeah. That's a good thing.
Create memories.
Yep. Hey, look, we're going to have to bail on out of here.
Okie dokie.
But, you know, as I said, there'll be this whole event happening tomorrow, the Maine Books to Prisoners Party at the Thompson Community Center. So if anyone, you know, has a guest today that wants to tell them they ought to come up to that event, by all means, let people know.
Yeah.
And, I said we'll be recording some things there and putting them on the air, and it's about that. Well, good luck with hopefully getting whatever Baldacci has done for you. There's something actually happening.
Yeah, he actually did something.
It's taking time, but it'll pass there.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, look, got to get on out of here, dude.
All right, Ronnie. Thanks a lot, and I'll drop you a line on that other stuff we were talking about.
Great, okay.
All right.
Well, in fact, if you just stay on the line for a second here after off here.
Okay.